WDIY presents a special news feature. Child abuse is a societal tragedy affecting thousands of children throughout Pennsylvania. In 2018, the latest year for which numbers have been published, there were 178 substantiated child abuse cases in Northampton County. Lehigh County had 186. These numbers represent a small fraction of the thousands of reports of child abuse. You'll hear a few voices to tell you how things have changed during the COVID-19 pandemic. First, I welcome Julie Bader, administrator in the offices of Northampton County Children, Youth, and Families, and Sue Wondolowski, director of human services for Northampton County. Julie and Sue, welcome to WDIY.
Thank you
very much.
First question is, these are different times for everyone in human service professions. We have always counted on face-to-face interactions with clients and those in systems at feed agencies. Right now, many students are not in schools, as we know. Teachers and school nurses don't see them. Sports coaches and after-school programmers don't see children face-to-face as much as they used to. Julie, how has this impacted child abuse reporting in Northampton County?
The reporting, when the pandemic first started last year in March and April, the referral numbers dropped almost in half from what we had been seeing. I can say with electronic virtual therapy, virtual school, the referrals are going back up. We are not quite in the same numbers that we were in last year at this time, but we are back closer to normal, and the referrals that are coming in are much more true need, a little bit more severe in nature of the cases.
So they're a little bit more easy to substantiate?
Yes, they are.
Well, in 2018, where we can go back to, there were more than 5,000 substantiated cases of child abuse in Pennsylvania, and 178 cases you saw in Northampton County. Could either or each of you tell us how you expect numbers of reports to trend for 2020, and why is that?
I think the numbers for 2020, we seem to be getting closer to where we were prior to the pandemic with the referral sources coming in. I think more people are returning to doctors where for a while all visits were halted unless it was emergent and everybody's trying to get the vaccinations in and the regular routine child care, health care routines back in. So more people are seeing their doctors. More people are part-time in schools, if not full-time in schools. Even if it's virtual, some of those teachers are asking more questions. We've worked with some of the school districts to help with background questions that we could be asking, like who's watching the children, what do you have for lunch, little things to make sure children are having food at home, making sure that the right people are babysitting or there are babysitters and getting some better information. So I see our numbers substantiated have routinely been about 10%, 11% of what our referrals were. And I don't see it changing a whole lot. I think the numbers will be a little bit higher this year than they were last year, but I'm not sure we'll hit the 2018 totals yet.
Just to clear up for our listeners, a referral means a call has been made to Children and Youth or to Childline that would then need to be followed up by Children and Youth. Is that correct?
That is correct.
If I can chime in, I think one of the other things that we did in the county early on in the pandemic when schools were closed and no one was seeing doctors or therapists and all sports came to a screeching halt, we put out a plea to just our citizens and asked them to watch out for one another and make sure that if they had concerns about a neighbor who needed assistance or they had concerns about that, they contact us to let us know so we could connect folks with the right resources, especially during these difficult times. So the efforts were made to try to engage folks at the community level when our typical mandated reporters were not seeing children nearly as often as they had been.
What I'd like to know is once a report is made, I know that there are fairly strict guidelines about how to proceed with an investigation. It nearly always involves a visit to the home where the abuse is suspected. Is it possible for caseworkers to go into homes these days, and what are the conditions?
I'll be honest, Marcy. Our regulations regarding response times and going into the home to assess abuse have not changed at all. We have not missed a 24-hour response time for CPS or two-hour or immediate or whatever the case dictates based on what's in the referral. The difference now is we are having all of our workers with PPE. We have N95 masks if they go into the field. We have shields. We have access to gowns, gloves. We have the guidelines based on CDC guidelines of questions to be asking if anybody's been positive, anybody's been tested. We try to see children through the door if we can, at times if somebody in the home is positive. But we will quarantine our workers if they have to go into a home where somebody has been found to be positive. But we don't stop our investigation based on that. Our guidelines from the state mandated that we continue to do what we're doing. If it's high risk, we still go into the home. If it's lower risk, we're able to do more visits virtually once we are in to assess that risk and do our safety plan. But we don't stop what we're doing to do our initial response time.
So you're seeing that everybody is safe.
We are out to assess every family that we have a referral on, yes.
What else would you like our listeners to know about the good work you're doing?
I think we have very dedicated workers that are going into the homes as often as needed. I think we have very dedicated workers and supervisors and administrators and backup of county government officials to make sure all of our families are getting what they need. We have tried to think outside of the box when everything started and we couldn't get access to WIC. We actually used some of our CARES Act money to get diapers, formula. We helped the school districts get Wi-Fi for school. So we're really trying to think outside the box to provide the best services that we can for the families that we interact with.
Sue, do you have anything to add to that?
I echo Julie's sentiments. And, you know, at the administrative level, Julie mentioned all the personal protective equipment that staff has. And so our primary goal, obviously, is always to ensure the safety of the children and families that we work with. But our goal is also to ensure the safety of our staff, and we have gone to great lengths to do that. So we expect there to be some additional demands on the system moving forward, and it is our ongoing goal to partner with the great providers that we have in our community already to ensure that families can get the services and access to food that they need in order to, frankly, avoid having to be involved with the child welfare system. So I'm very proud of the efforts that we've taken to try to ensure our staff are as safe as possible so that they in turn may do the same and continually assess for safety and risk in the community.
It's my pleasure to introduce Paula Griffin, Director of Lehigh County Children and Youth. Paula Griffin, I am so glad to have you weigh in on this important topic.
Thank you for having me.
Paula, please tell our listeners how child abuse reporting and investigations have changed in Lehigh County since last year when COVID-19 lockdowns began.
Well, I would say the biggest change has been in that families and children are much more isolated. They're not going to school in many cases, and they're in hybrid in some of the situations. And so they're just not exposed to as many mandated reporters. So we don't really have people actively observing child abuse or child neglect concerns.
Paula, for our listeners' benefit, would you tell us what a mandated reporter is?
A mandated reporter is anyone through their profession that comes in contact with children. So many of our referral sources at Children and Youth are educators and people within the school system. So with the children not going into school on a regular basis, we are receiving less referrals.
Does that mean that ordinary citizens cannot report?
Absolutely. That's really what we need. And that is my push, that we need the community to be our eyes and ears during this difficult time. Since youth are having less contact with school personnel and mandated reporters, we need neighbors and concerned citizens to really be keeping out an extra eye and an extra ear for children in their community.
I understand that things are different now. Do you see more or less child abuse during these times? And do you believe we are reaching and identifying all children in Lehigh County who are being abused and need the services of children and youth?
That's a very difficult question, and it's something that I think about, struggle with. I think that since the beginning of the pandemic, our referrals have been reduced about 50%, and in no way does that mean to me that the number of children being affected by child abuse and neglect has been reduced by 50%. I truly believe that we are just not hearing about it because the kids are not as visible as they were.
I want to know, how do child abuse investigations proceed using the CDC guidelines and regulations?
My caseworkers are first responders and considered essential workers. And so we're mandated by the state to continue to investigate all concerns of child abuse and neglect within Lehigh County. Although our workspace has been moved primarily remotely, at least on a hybrid schedule, the caseworkers are continuing to respond daily out in the community with masks and using their hand sanitizer. But they are on the front line, and they are continuing to see and respond to all cases that we receive.
Is there anything in closing that you would like our listeners to know about child abuse?
I would just like to say that we all need to work together to ensure the safety of our community. And if you're not sure if there's a neglect or abusive situation going on, let us decide that. And if you're on the fence about making a referral, please err on the side of child safety and don't hesitate to make a referral to Childline. And if I could, I would like to provide that phone number, which is 1-800-932-0313. I think it's everyone's responsibility to take care of one another.
I welcome Angela Little, Executive Director of Pennsylvania Family Support Alliance, an agency whose mission is protecting children from abuse. Thanks so much for talking with us, Angela.
Thank you for the invitation.
Angela, we've heard a lot about child abuse reporting and investigations. What would it take to truly prevent child abuse? What would need to change in society?
Child abuse is an incredibly complex societal issue. Few people realize the complexity of all of the issues that play into child abuse and neglect. I think that, not to sound trite, but it takes far more than a village to prevent child abuse. It starts with really good policy and having laws that don't have many loopholes or wiggle room. It talks then, I think, next about having those folks who work in child protective services really well-trained, seasoned, mentored. And then, of course, it talks, I think, about to not have child abuse. You're really talking about community-based prevention. So the first step, the best first step in preventing child abuse is good, solid, positive parenting. And so for services to be effective, they have to really be individualized to the community, to what families really need. So that needs to be in place. When I talked about the laws and the policy piece, that comes from then the safety net, right, of mandated reporters, where they're going to catch very early when they see something that's not right and be able to intervene with Child Protective Services. And you can't always count on mandated reporters, just like the times we've been living in the last year, where kids are more socially isolated. So there comes then the community. So it's really about a culture within a community where everyone feels they have a responsibility to keep kids safe. So that if my eyes touch a child across the street, my eyes see a child at the local grocery store, your eyes see a child while you're getting gas, something doesn't seem right, that folks know what to do. And of course that you would hope people knew their neighbors enough to be able to be supportive. That's the kind of prevention piece. It's a combination of prevention and intervention. And for as sophisticated as we've all become in our society, we're a long way away from cracking this nut of child abuse and neglect, a very long way away.
From WDIY, thanks so much to Angela Little, Julie Bader, Sue Wondolowski, and Paula Griffin for your time and expertise today. I want to remind listeners that the Childline number for reporting suspected child abuse in Pennsylvania is 1-800-932-0313. For WDIY News, I'm Marcy Lightwood.